Let's talk a little bit about patterns. You and the Ayurvedic tradition have developed a knowledge or a set of distinctions that can help us to understand how to keep ourselves in balance, both mentally, emotionally, philosophically, spiritually, health-wise, through patterns of, I guess it would be neurological, physiological body types. Can we talk about maybe the three primary ones? I know there's 10.
Yeah, there are three primary body types. One we call Vata, which is the hypermetabolic body type, where everything is in motion, the body, the mind, the emotions. Things change fast. The main factor is, to emphasize, is hypermetabolic type. So this is the kind of person who reacts fast to everything. And under normal circumstances, enthusiastic, vivacious, imaginative, lots of fun to be with. Get them under stress, the same things manifest as anxiety and insomnia and muscle tremors and cramps and menstrual tension and constipation and irritable bowel. And this is the kind of person who says, I can eat anything I want and never gain weight. Mm-hmm. The extreme opposite of that is the Kapha hypometabolic type.
Right.
Under normal circumstances, easygoing, effortless behavior, affectionate, loving, sympathetic. Get the same person under stress, then they start holding on to things. They're the kind of people that say, all I have to do is look at food and I gain weight.
Yes.
And they retain food, they retain fluid, they hold on to everything, whether it's food, fat, fluid, or relationships for that matter. Then there's the fiery metabolic type or Pitta type.
Yes.
Here the underlying principle is fire. These people are like yourself, for example, articulate, chivalrous, courageous, very effective.
I'll slip you the tip later on.
Okay. But get these people under stress, and the stress being the interpretation which we talked about, then the same thing manifests as ulcers and hypertension and type A personalities and heart attacks and so on.
Anger.
So anger.
Frustration.
But the nice side of it is passion.
Yes.
So, you know, in balance, that same passion. And in imbalance, anger and frustration and impatience. So if three people get in a traffic, stuck in a traffic jam, one person acts anxiously, another gets angry, and the third might tune into Mozart. Or whenever we are reacting to anything in life, whether it's the rainy weather, or whether it's a love note, or whether it's criticism from a boss, or whether it's an item of food or a traffic jam, actually, we're not reacting to that at all. We're reacting to a self-generated signal.
Yes.
And these patterns, to get in touch with these patterns, give us an idea that there are certain psychophysiological tendencies or propensities. To the extent I can get in touch with the patterns that seem to be more obvious to me as relating to me, the more control I have over the situation and the more insight I have. You know, a few weeks ago, it was a snowy day. I was in Chicago at the airport, and they suddenly announced that the flight had been canceled because the weather was bad and there was a snowstorm. I saw all the Vata people rushing off to the other counter. They were already booking tickets on the next flight. The Pitta people were banging their fists on the table and screaming at the woman who made the announcement. And the Kapha people had gently sauntered to the ice cream parlor and were having
to deal with their stress with some food.
Yeah.
That's
so
right.
You see now how conditioned this response is, even on a massive level.
Well, let me clarify with you, though, also. Don't we have all three within us? Is there a predominant, for example, I know you're familiar with visual, auditory, and kinesthetic types.
Right. Yeah, we have all three, and some people are more dominant in one.
Right.
We are all a combination, so we can end up being 10 body types.
I see.
And in fact, the visual, kinesthetic, olfactory, gustatory,
yes,
they're all accounted for in this system also of body types.
It sounds like the Kapha would be a very kinesthetic body type.
And olfactory also, and gustatory.
Yes. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's why they tend to gravitate towards food.
Whereas the Vata auditory and the Pitta visual.
Yes. And if I remember correctly, the Vata also wants the tactile, the kinesthetic.
You're right.
Or as a normal human being would say, the touch.
Right.
Interesting. Now, let's talk a little bit about this. If I remember, you had some other distinctions. For example, I think Vatas need to make sure that their meals are somewhat consistent in terms of timing. They tend to have, if I remember correctly, difficulty with sleep being altered really easily.
Yes.
Do they respond to cold with more difficulty?
Yes, Vata body types have dry skin. They're ectomorphic. Their skin and veins are more prominent. Their tendon-y protuberances can be seen easily. They are hypermetabolic, moving around all the time. They're sensitive to cold. And when they get out of balance, then they have all the things we already mentioned.
Right.
Whereas, and they are tactile, kinesthetic, and auditory.
Right.
The kapha people are emotional. And they, as I said, they have more fat under their skin.
Yes.
Their skin is moist and cool. Their bony tendencies are not prominent, protuberances are not dominant, and they have more tendency towards fluid retention, diabetes, high cholesterol, holding on to all the things. Emotionally, they can become very possessive and attached.
Yes.
The vata types, on the other hand, become anxious more easily. And the pitta types are more fiery metabolic, so they're more mesomorphic, more muscular. And under stress, then all the elements of fire come out, anger and frustration and jealousy. Temperature, cold, vata, the characteristic is cool and dry. Kapha, cool and moist, and pitta, hot and moist.
Interesting. Now, how do we create balance? First of all, what creates imbalances in each three?
Stress. Ultimately, it's all stress.
So what are some of the elements of stress?
The elements of stress are basically how you interact with your environment, with people and situations and circumstances and things.
Emotional stress, physical stress from lack of sleep, stress from eating improperly.
Right. In fact, take two or three things. How you behave, how you think, how and what you eat, period. How you behave influences your biological rhythms, which means life is a function of cycles of rest and activity.
Yes.
So deep rest is the basis of dynamic activity, mm-hmm. and dynamic activity is the basis of deep rest. If you've had a really good dynamic active day, you're going to have a wonderful sleep at night.
Yes.
It's like children. Look at children. They're totally self-referral. They're totally in the present.
Yes.
And when they fall to sleep, they're gone. That's what blissful sleep is. And just like that, deep rest is the basis of dynamic activity. If you have a hangover, you're not going to be able to do anything effective. So
yes.
you need both.
Yes.
And nature functions in these cycles of rest and activity. So watch the signals of comfort and discomfort as they come from your body. These are your inner cues. The universe, in its infinite intelligence, has made it very simple. There are only two signals. One's a signal of comfort, one is the signal of discomfort. The
pain
signal
and pleasure.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Or we say joy and suffering.
Yes.
Okay? These are the only two signals. And you tune into these signals that your body is giving out and amplify the signals of comfort and get away from the signals of discomfort. You have what is called spontaneous right action, which means the right action comes to you in every second of your existence. It's the right response to every situation as it occurs. There's a computing system out there which is far more precise, far more accurate, far more reliable than any contained in the realm of rational thought. You just have to tune in. Tune into the signals, and you have the right behavior, the right eating habits. Of course, there are guidelines, and those guidelines are something for you to corroborate your own inner experiences.
Right.
There's no animal in the forest who has the vaguest idea what the U.S. Surgeon General has recommended as the minimal requirement of calcium.
That's probably why he doesn't have loss of bone and he doesn't have cancer in the wild.
Osteoporosis,
anyway.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Inner cues.
Well, you know, I asked you earlier, how do you really get to that place where you know you're the creator of your world? And it sounds like one of the ways to do it is be a child again.
Be
children,
right. Yes.
Children know
children
that.
Know
children
that.
Have the curiosity. Children
yes.
are not locked in. It's like you start out as a child, the door is wide open, then we learn more and more, and we keep closing the door until there's a very thin amount of light that can
then
get through to us.
Yeah, locked into the known.
Interesting. Tell me some ways to balance, though. You gave me the general, which is notice the things that make sense. But
well, when we,
for those three types, what would be some ways of balance?
Well, the three body types, the vata body types, food, for example. The vata pacifying foods are those foods which have tastes of sweet, sour, and salt. By sweet, I don't mean concentrated sweets as in candy, but complex carbohydrates, for example, that have that sweet aftertaste. Kapha body types are balanced more easily by pungent, bitter, and astringent.
Yes.
Astringent, so and pitta body.
Is that because they're used to not moving or just being in one mode, and you want to stimulate them?
Right. And the tastes aren't what nature gave us as information states, and we use the taste to access the information that's there in food. And then the pitta body types are balanced most easily by astringent, bitter, and sweet. These are the three tastes. And vata types need more rest because they are very easily hypermetabolic and
yes.
they need more regularity in their life.
Yes.
And pitta types need more precision also. Kapha types can go for a long time and have a lot of endurance. If you get, ultimately though, even if you didn't know all this,
just notice what works.
Just notice what works. Listen to the inner cues, and the body's inner intelligence is the ultimate and supreme genius. It mirrors the wisdom of the universe. It'll tell you exactly what to do. Most people don't take time to listen.
Get quiet and listen, huh?
Get quiet and listen.
Meditation. I recently was under a fairly amount of stress the way I was interpreting my world by creating so many timelines and deadlines. And I'd been doing that for such intensity. And I finally took a trip with my family, went up to Aspen. And first 2 days, I was still in that mode. And after 3 or 4 days of being there, just being out in the snow and just relaxing and being, it was like, it's rejuvenated me so much.
Get into that timeless part of yourself.
That's right.
There is a timeless part, you know. When you're in love, then time doesn't matter.
Yes. What about time? Does time exist?
Not really. Sir Thomas Gold, most eminent physicist on this theory of time, says the flow of linear time is a purely psychological event.
Yeah, it's our construct. We've made it up.
Yeah, we've made it up. Stephen Hawking, this universe has no beginning, no ending, no outer edges in space.
Yes.
It's a timeless, eternal continuum. And we are part of that timeless, eternal continuum. We go through a set of experiences. And behind that set of experiences, the experiencer is always there. The experiencer is always there. And the universe is without time. You know, I read about a case report from Germany recently where 7 miners were trapped in a mine. And one of them had a watch. And in order to allay the anxieties of the others, every time 2 hours passed by, he would call out 1 hour. At the end of the week, they were all rescued. And they were all alive except for the one who was calling out the time.
Wow.
He had them collectively change their agreement of what constituted objective time. But he got locked into an interpretation.
Wow, what a great example. Well, most of us use time as an enemy instead of as our ally. In fact, I remember reading, I think it was in one of your books, about the fact that more people die on Monday.
At 9 o'clock.
At 9 a.m. than any time of the week.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary, unique accomplishment for which only the human species can take credit for that one. And presumably no other animal knows the difference between Monday and Tuesday.
Wow, that's fascinating. Now, you tied this into the whole understanding of job satisfaction affecting someone's health.
Yeah, the two most important risk factors for heart disease and predictors of fatal heart attacks are, one, job dissatisfaction, people who have no meaning or purpose to their life.
Yeah.
And the second most important risk factor is what's called self-happiness rating. You can go out on the street and ask people 2 simple questions. Do you have any meaning in your life? Do you have any purpose in your life?
Yeah.
Number 2, are you happy? And if they can say comfortably yes to both, they're going to be fine.
And whether they're happy or not all comes down to how they wired themselves to interpret their world.
Their world, yeah.
And that's why I see happen a date with destiny. You know, people come in for 3 days and they start out with all this pain inside because they've set up a game they can't win.
Right.
You know, and so that no matter what happens, they're never happy. And then you make it so that the game is natural and their lives transform.
Yeah, the first thing is they have to realize that they set it up.
Yeah, and most people don't. Mm-hmm.